Today we hear the conclusion of the Bread of Life discourse, which we've been listening to for 5 Sundays in a row. And Jesus has just proclaimed the clearest teaching we have in Scripture on the Eucharist, that he is the bread of life and that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. And we see the reaction of the people in today's gospel. The crowd refuses to accept what Jesus tells them. You know, they say, this teaching is too difficult. And one by one, they turn away. And there's even a hint that this is the moment at which Judas decides to turn against Christ, because there's a reference to the betrayal in this passage, that perhaps it was this teaching on the Eucharist that led to Judas's betrayal. But you can imagine how heartbreaking this would have been for our Lord, you know, after, you know, he just presented to them this incredible gift of the Eucharist, and to see them, these people that he knew, everyone individually, to see them turn away, you know, that would have been heartbreaking for him. But then that's when he turns to Peter and the apostles and says, are you going to leave me too? And he says, Lord, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so I think this can be a source of encouragement for us, because, you know, sometimes we might get discouraged if, you know, maybe there's someone that we're praying for to come back to the faith and they haven't come back. You know, maybe a family member or friend, or maybe there's just struggles in our vocation and it feels like we're just, you know, it's not bearing fruit. But we can look at our Lord, and even though he's God, you know, people turned away from him as well. So, you know, that might give us a little bit of encouragement when we're discouraged. But I want to focus in on one particular phrase from the gospel today. And that's when Jesus says, it is the Spirit that gives life. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And the words that he has just spoken are the words about the Eucharist, his giving his flesh and blood, and that the Eucharist is spirit and life. You know, the Eucharist is not lifeless. It is not an inanimate object. You know, at the consecration, the bread and the wine are transformed into a new substance, the flesh of Jesus Christ. And so it is his risen flesh. It is the resurrected Lord that we receive, body and soul. And just as Jesus was the anointed one, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, so too in every host, the Eucharist, or the Holy Spirit, is alive within that host. And so when we receive the Eucharist worthily, not only can we attain a deep union with Jesus Christ, you know, we can unite ourselves to him and he unites himself to us in a deep way, but there's also the opportunity in a unique way for the Holy Spirit to be enlivened and poured out within us. You know, that's why Jesus says that his flesh is spirit that gives life. It's because the Holy Spirit is alive in each host. When we think about our Christian calling, we need the Holy Spirit, because every one of us is called to a supernatural end. We are called to a purpose greater than our physical abilities. And there's no way we can become the people that we're created to be and attain a supernatural end through our natural powers. You know, for a supernatural end, that means an end that's above nature, we need supernatural assistance. And that's what we receive in the Holy Spirit. And so to become children of God and to live as children of God, we're called to something that's supernatural. And so whatever challenges or difficulties we're facing, you know, we're called to bear witness to Jesus and to live in a way that is Christ-like, in a supernatural way. And we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to do that. We can't do it on our own. And so what are some examples of how this may play out? Well, for our young people, you know, they might be in a situation in school where people around them are using vulgar language, or maybe are cheating on different assignments. And we as Christians are called, even in a situation like that, to bear witness to the goodness of God in that situation. And so how does a young person have the strength to be virtuous and to live with integrity in a situation like that? Well, as we receive the Eucharist, we call on the Holy Spirit and allow the Spirit that's alive in each host to transform us and to give us those gifts that we need. You know, maybe there's someone that we just struggle to forgive and haven't let something go. Or maybe we're in a rough patch with a spouse or a family member. You know, how do we gain the strength to show the mercy of God, a supernatural level of forgiveness in a situation like that? Well, it's not through our own power. But when we receive the Eucharist, if we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, we'll receive the strength that we need to forgive that person. Or maybe we're in a situation where we're overwhelmed with suffering. And on a human level, we would be broken and we fall into despair. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can embrace that suffering and use it to atone for our sins, or maybe to atone for the sins of somebody else and to bring about a conversion in their life. And so we cannot live a supernatural life without supernatural assistance. But we're called in the challenges and the difficulties and the circumstances that we're in our daily life. We're called to live in a way that's like God. And so as we receive the Holy Spirit through the Eucharist, that's the Spirit that gives life. And so I encourage us, as we come to the end of the Bread of Life discourse in John chapter 6, I encourage us to reflect upon how we respond to this teaching of Jesus as he unveils the mystery of the Eucharist. Do we respond with faith like Peter and the other apostles? Or do we respond with disbelief like the crowd? And if we do respond with faith, we should always receive the Eucharist in a way that our devotion shows the depth of our faith. We should receive the Eucharist with great devotion and with great love. And as we receive the Eucharist, we should recognize that it not only brings us into communion with Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit anoints and flows through each and every host. And as we receive that host into ourselves, it gives us the strength that we need to face the challenges and difficulties in life, and to face them as children of God. So I encourage us to draw on the strength of the Holy Eucharist, especially in difficult situations, and allow the Eucharist and the Holy Spirit that's present in each host to transform us so that we can truly live as children of God.